and welcome to episode 10 of A View from the Dugout with myself, Chris, from Surrey on the Budget. And I'm joined by my co-host, a man who in 2008 found his Football Manager 2008 disc broken and thrown from his city centre apartment window by his then partner for playing it too much online with myself. Within the hour, I'd furnished him with a brand new copy of the disc in order to continue an online game. And shortly thereafter, it was just the two of us. It's Russ from Scotland Surrey. How are you doing, sir?
I'm very good. And that is a true story.
I know. Do you know what? I actually was sitting there and I was thinking to myself, right, I'm going, what can I say? And I was like, I'm going to put one in there where people won't actually believe it's a true story, but genuinely actually is. I drove 15 miles with a brand new copy of Football Manager 2008 so we could continue our online game we'd been playing for. Well, we had been overly playing it. I think we were playing till like 2, 3 in the morning and then going to work together the next day and stuff like that. It was just insanity. And apparently it was the breaking point. And
it was the breaking point.
I do take some credit for that because obviously then you move on to your current life, which is fantastic. But I just thought before we started, obviously the last few weeks we've kind of had a wee bit of chat about football in general and things like that. And one of the things, obviously, there's been a big influx of football, sort of FIFA players and that coming into the Surrey platform. And I just thought I'd touch on a wee bit about football games and things like that. What do you recall being the earliest football game you remember playing on a computer or console or what have you?
Do you know what? The earliest I can go back, so the actual, the sort of like the gameplay ones as opposed to the managerial ones, I started with Microprose Soccer, which was on the Commodore 64. Now, you know, I didn't have a Commodore 64. It was my mate that had it. So that was one of the computers that you basically plugged into a telly rather than it had a monitor. Okay. I was quite unfortunate. I had like a green screen Amstrad, you know, Alan Sugar, CPC 464.
464, beautiful.
Yeah, I had one of those. And from my recollection, there were no decent football games on that. However, my friend
I beg to differ.
All right, okay.
I have two.
Well, I had Microprose Soccer was a favourite on the com. Then I moved on. If I'm just sort of off the top of my head, going through my journey, Actua Soccer on the PS1 was a favourite. Sensi Soccer on the Mega Drive. I played that to death with a couple of the guys actually that are playing Surrey with me to this day. We used to play Sensi on the Mega Drive. That was good. ISS that went on to become the Pro Evo. Yep. Series had quite a good few rivalries on that. There was a brilliant game for a while. It was on the, I want to say it was a Sega Genesis or it was after the Mega Drive. I can't remember what the console was called. However, this game was like part of that. There was like Virtua Fighter and Virtua Striker. This one was called.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh, mate, I actually skipped so many classes at uni because there was a Virtua Striker game in the union at Dundee Uni. And me and my mate, another Russell, we were both Dundee fans and we would go up because the teams actually had, like when you played as Argentina, it actually had like a Kinesia and a Maradona, but they weren't called that. They just had the hair. And yeah. That's how you knew who they were and stuff. Yeah. Oh, mate. Now we're talking business there, eh?
That was it. That was a great game. And probably it's one that's kind of been forgotten about quite a bit over the last 20 years. So apologies to any of our younger listeners who are like, what even is a Mega Drive?
They don't know they have lived, do they? Yeah. Oh, man, that takes me back. I actually had Virtua Striker 3 for the GameCube. And that one, when you scored the goal, it gave your goal a rating out of about 1,000. So you were always just trying to score worldies. And it was just, what a game. My GameCube, I can actually see my GameCube from here. I think what I'm actually missing is the cable that connects it to the TV. So I might find one of those because that could be... Like I've got a game capture thing as well. I might be able to do something with that. That could be interesting.
I think those were the main ones. Obviously, then the Pro Evo played that to death. That was at the time that it was Ronaldo and Adriano and things like that. And I had a bit of a rivalry with a guy that lived with me for, you know, he would play it every night and we'd play it for like 4 or 5 hours. And then latterly, I suppose probably moved on to the FIFA series at that point after that. I switched from Pro Evo to FIFA like most people did. And the FIFA Ultimate Team obviously grabbed me. I'm thinking about 2009, I think it might have been. And then, as you know, we both played that religiously, daily, to the point that we were trading into the millions and millions of coins. Up until, I would say probably I stopped. You know, I still casually play it every now and again, and amazingly, you know, I don't know why, but I'm still pretty hard to beat. You know, I think if I don't think you can see your record this year on it. If I'm
you can, but you've got to. It's kind of hidden through sub menus and stuff. It's not just at the top of the screen. I think they did that to try and stop people being so, you know, competitive and trying to, you know, smash controllers through TVs and stuff, because it kind of took the pressure off it because you can't see it. But no, we obviously spent, God, I mean, between that and Civilization, God, we spent, again, 2-3 a.m. and then going to work in the morning. Eh? That was kind of wild days, of days gone by, shall we say. I mean, if I was to go back, I had the Amstrad, but before that, I had a Commodore 16. So I'm predating the 64. Mm-hmm. And I've still got it. I've actually still got the actual console, and it's literally just looks like a keyboard. And again, plugs into the TV. I did have a football game on there, and it was one that you played, but I can't for the life of me remember the name of it. But on the Amstrad, there was two. There was two that I played religiously. One was Footballer of the Year, where you basically got turn cards. So you would get, you know, you had to buy the turn cards as you went, and you had, you know, it'd give you three shots in a game, or it'd give you two shots in a game. But half the time, it didn't matter. You'd get three shots, you'd score all three, because there was a place you could exactly place it, and it would be a goal every time. but you could score three and still get beat 7-3 by the other opposition. And it came in like a video printer. It was the coolest thing in the world. And there was also First Division Manager. And that was one that I played. Again, I think that actually had real players in it. But I enjoyed playing all those type of games. And then I think as I went through we got a PC in about 1995, I think, was when we got the first one, Christmas 95. And one of my mates from school, Ian, he had he stayed pretty close to the secondary school I went to. And at lunchtime, he was like, God, do you want to come around? I've got this new computer game. It's a football game. It's Championship Manager. I was like, well, this sounds pretty good. So we would go around and we'd sit and we'd play it. And I remember when I got the PC, he says, I'll get you a copy of it. So it was like 7 or 8 floppy disks that he gave me. He just stacked them, brought it into school, tied with an elastic band. And I was like, what do I do with these? It's not a tape. Where does that go? And then I put it in, and life was changed at that point. And that was Championship Manager 93-94 end of season update, for anybody that's looking for the exact copy of it. And from then on, it was basically just Championship Manager right the way through until it became Football Manager. I had, God, this predates us as well. This is it was when it changed to Football Manager, and it was Football Manager 4. I had the main update. It was fm4update.co.uk was the web domain. So I sat every day plunging hours and hours and hours into making a database just to keep it up to date and putting it up. So at that point, it was one of the main ones that were out at that point. And then obviously life gets in the way. You know, you become like 21, 22, and you're like, I don't have time for this anymore. But Football Manager has obviously been one that's been kind of religiously played. The last couple of years, not so much. Again, just life, eh? And when it comes to the console, my first football game on there that I remember was World Cup Italia 90. On the Mega Drive, top-down view, except when you did a slide and tackle, your players were like 30 feet long when they went in for a slide tackle. They covered the centre circle to the box. But I loved going to penalties in that, because that one, you know, again, it was just fun. And then 94 was the first FIFA International Soccer, and that was a game changer, because that was your isometric view and diagonal. You could run away from the referee for about three quarters of an hour trying to avoid getting booked and stuff. And you had the crazy walls. It was like invisible walls around the pitch and all this stuff. I loved it. And then, yeah, just eventually just progressed onto it wasn't actually really till the Xbox. I want to say it was the Xbox One that I started to get back into FIFA. I kind of left it because I didn't have a console because, again, life got in the way. I had Virtua Striker on my GameCube, as I mentioned, but beyond that, it wasn't really anything. So I kind of drifted away from it for several years and then got FIFA and Ultimate Team, and thinking maybe it was like FIFA 15 was when I came back to it. And then I was just playing offline because I thought I'm not going to be good enough to play online. And you were like, get online. What are you playing at? Playing against computers. This is for kids. So I got online and then that was that, hooked, unfortunately, for about 5 or 6 years. And then, again, we've just kind of drifted away. I think we've just got older, haven't we? I think it's just one of those things.
I think most of the guys that, you know, that are on, whether you're, you know, you're on Saray or whether you're on some of the other NFT games or whether you've been a football indexer or a foot stalker, do you know what? We've all had exposure. And whether you've been like the console guy that actually plays actively the game, likes a FIFA or whatever, or whether you're just the managerial guy that just sits and just spends hours tapping the mouse or tapping the button, but ultimately looking for that sort of world dominance. You know, I always remember doing many an all-nighter with, there's actually two or three of the guys that are on the Saray, and, you know, Lewis, as you know, so that spectre in the game who loves his under-23s and, you know, did many an all-nighter with him. And that was the Championship Manager 0102 Red Disc, which probably goes down as our favourite. And I'll just mention just seven or eight names here, and anybody that's ever played probably CM will immediately probably recognise. So, you know, you would immediately sign Terrible West because he was a free agent. And then you would obviously sign Mark Kerr, the Scotsman, because of all his 20s in the right places. But just, you know, Skilidis, Sigalko, Alex Farnarud, Kennedy Bakerglua, these kind of names. We signed the same, every load up, you would sign the same bloody players and you would get the same outcome, and then you would get bored, and then all you would do is you would pick another team and sign all those players again for the same team.
Same again. I mean, we've had, I don't know how many weeks or months in total of gameplay we had when we were sitting playing, you know, even up until, was it last year, maybe the year before? I was certainly living here when we played our last one. And so, yeah, probably about a year ago, we kind of stopped our last one. And it's one of those, it's once you get started, it's that getting over the hump of a start, isn't it? You know?
Yeah.
And then once you get over that hump of a start and you know, it's like every night we were going through it. It was like, God, are you free? You want to jump on? And it was only supposed to be once a week or twice a week. And then all of a sudden it's 7 days. And, but then that's probably about the time that we both got hooked into the Saray world, I suppose, isn't it? And it, you know, I suppose in hindsight, when you look at all these computer games and things like that, it is in essence fantasy football, because you're playing as the manager, you're playing as a player or whatever you're doing. Mm-hmm. And I suppose that was something you mentioned about talking about the kind of evolution of fantasy sports as such. And I mean, going back to fantasy football, I mean, obviously I'll let you talk about the extensive football, such fantasy football league that you've got, that you've been running for donkey's years.
nearly 30 years.
But I mean, the earliest I remember was obviously in kind of like some of the red top tabloid papers, and you would have, and say you've got £1 million and you've got to go and pick 11 players, and you had to phone it in on the 0906 number or 0898 number. And I remember having to say to my mum and dad, being like, can I phone my team in? And it's like, you get the bill in and it costs £7 to go and phone your team in or whatever it costs. I'm getting the bullet for, I thought that was a free call. Well, you know, and then your team's a dud. And it wasn't like you could make changes to it. It was like, once you bought it in August, you just had to roll with it until May. But that's kind of probably where I started with fantasy sports or fantasy football.
Yeah, I think I was quite similar. And one of the things that, when you mentioned the phones, back round about 1992, 93, I was living in, obviously, Forfar, in that little Angus town there. And one of the sports editor guys for said Red Top tabloid, would you believe it, was actually local to Forfar, and he was heavily involved. And I remember having the conversation a number of times before the Sun launched the Dream Team about, you know, having a mixture of players and creating your own team. And there's an element probably of those conversations would have led at some point to the chap Kenny going in and ultimately probably creating that game, because I know that I'm pretty certain he was, you know, instrumental in the actual the delivery of it through the tabloid, and then obviously linking it into, obviously it had to be monetized, and the monetization of it was you had to pay a premium rate for the telephone number that you were ringing in, and it would be like each player would have four, the last four digits would be different for their code, but
absolutely. You just had a four digit code you had to put in for each of the players and everything in.
That's right.
You put your code in thinking you're putting in like a you know, David Robertson from Rangers or Aberdeen or whoever be at the time, and instead you've ended up with Tosh McKinley from Dundee or something. Hey, you're like, that's not who I pressed, that's what costs so much.
Yeah, I think that, and obviously just my own running what is now Scotland's longest running sort of fantasy football league, being heavily involved in those. But do you know what, everything we've mentioned there, and whether it's, you know, from your Sensi soccer days where all the names were mixed up, and the same with, you know, ISS Pro, you know, and, you know, Liverpool Reds, Liverpool Blues and all this.
Yeah.
But ultimately, all this, you know, over the time period, the Championship Manager sessions, the FM sessions, the FIFA Ultimate Team and things, what it does do is it gives you a broad player awareness, so that when you're logging in on Serea, and if you've done or been involved in any of these games, whether you've played them or spent a bit of time, you instantly start to recognise. And I suppose just to kind of finalise so we can actually move on to some Serea, you know, sort of topic as such. But I think for me, there's an element of quite a nice crossover there.
Yeah.
Which I feel is quite good. And I don't know if we'll ever revisit FM again. What might be good, maybe some sort of FM challenge where the Serea community are picking elements of what we do next might be quite fun. But I don't know, that's a conversation for another day. But I think certainly the transition, and as much as, you know, I'm not a fan of, you know, things like FIFA Ultimate Team and stuff as much now and things, and, you know, I'm not big on, like, certainly the, you know, the content side of it and things like that. I just want to go on and play the game and just smash somebody ideally. But I think certainly there's an element of the actual gameplay and the knowledge base that you can get around that it might not be beneficial on SO5 as such, but it certainly could be helpful at least in recognising players and awareness.
Yeah, I would agree. I totally agree. And I think it does. It's, you know, even now, if you load up the Football Manager database just in the editor and just have a look at like who they've listed as the Wonder Kids, because to be honest, that's one thing that I've always been in awe of, like Championship Manager and Football Manager. Yeah, they'll get some wrong, you know, Mark Kerr being a world beater, for example, but the number of players that have come through that people know from Football Manager, you know what I mean? Like, they just explode onto the scene, and they've had them listed in their database for like 3-4 years before they've even got close to it. So yeah, no, that's one thing. Just before we do move on, did you ever do any of the play-by mails that you would get in the back of the shoot or match or whatever, and you could actually you sent away like £4 or something? I remember sellotaping it to a bit of card and putting it in because I didn't have a check or postal order or whatever, so I actually put £4 coins or whatever and sent it away, and every week in the post you would get a pack that had your team and how your team had done that week, and then any transfers and stuff. It was basically turn-based Football Manager, but you had to wait 10 days for getting your stuff in the post and everything. That was quite spectacular. That was something that just popped in my head when you mentioned kind of 92, 93. I remember doing that. And again, I'd do it for 2 or 3 weeks until my parents wouldn't give me more money for it to continue doing it. So it was one of those. But yeah, that's our little kind of, it was just something that I'd been meaning to talk about for a couple of weeks, because I think obviously there's more and more of a game player base coming over to Serie A, and I think it's interesting just to see where the journeys are. And it's funny, there's so many of the names there that you've mentioned, and you know, independently of each other, we've played the same games for the better part of 35, 40 years. Do you know, it's quite something. So speaking of games that we still play at the same time, Serie A, let's have a look at our game weeks then. So last week, I think we both had midweek and weekend games. How did you get on?
Yeah, I was almost a non-event. My America's team was not bad. Ended up with just shy of 300 points, and that was down to a really poor goalkeeping performance and the giveaway of a penalty from Yarborough. So that kind of cost me a card. I had a pretty solid sort of performance from the rest of my team. Nothing else to speak of that was even near winning a card. Again, not so much wrong selections. It was just a case of I had decent players that just didn't play well in what was, in essence, for some of them, the last game of the season, but also for my sort of Americas-based players and things. They just didn't turn up, being completely honest. But yeah, rather than kind of going into my game week in detail, what I thought I'd do before you can go into yours, I just a little bit of summary and accountability. Obviously, we come on here and we, along with our game weeks, we recommend players and things, which, you know, there will be people out there that, you know, trust us and think, yeah, do you know what, I'm going to, you know, these guys generally have made a lot of money, and more often than not, they'll probably get it right rather than wrong. So I've just got a very short sort of selection of eight of the players that I've tipped over the last sort of 5-6 podcasts. So Luke Hackinson was one that I tipped, I think it was just last week. He scored a 67 at the week. He's up about £30 in value. He's at Nashville. Franco Ibarra, Atlanta, defensive mid, marginally up in price, not playing particularly fantastic or scoring fantastic, but he's up about £20. However, one that has been sort of probably quite impressive, Marvin Loria, I tipped probably about 3-4 weeks ago, and I'm probably guessing there'd be a few listeners probably raised a few eyebrows and went, don't think so. He's up to the last 5 of 49, and he's actually doubled in price now from the podcast, if you want to listen back. And that's double in pounds, in fiat, not in ETH, because I know it's variant and it's all over the place just now. So he's doubled in your fiat. And Yoshi Suzuki, who we both know very well from Shimizu, he's up to the last 5 of 58, and he's up £60 since we tipped him 3 weeks ago. Yeah. Cifuentes is up £40. He's the young midfielder. He's doing quite well. Marcelo Silva's up £40, and he's playing very well at Real Salt Lake at the moment. I think he scored a 71 at the weekend. And finally, Memo Rodriguez, he's actually doubled in price. He's up to the last 5 of 43. He's not spectacular, but he's pretty consistent. So if you're maybe looking for a player that's still decent value, because he's coming in about £60 now. He was £30 when we tipped him about 5 weeks ago. If you're looking maybe for a player that's just to maybe make a threshold, etc., over the summer, there's certainly a few names. So that's my game week. And rather than going into my actual teams, I thought I'll just give myself a bit of self-critical analysis.
Fair play. Well, last week at this point, obviously we're recording a day early. I should have said that at the start. We're recording a day early because Russ is off to be part of the Tartan Army at Hampden for the Scotland-Ukraine game. So we won't have any analysis of the game as it stands. We might pop up over the weekend. We'll see how things go. But at this point last week when we're recording, I was sitting halfway decent in Underdog, and I thought to myself, you know, and I'd said, like, I had the two Fortaleza lads to play, and the game kicked off at 11 o'clock, and I was just going to my bed, and within 3 minutes, my striker had an assist, and he was also my captain, and I was like, well, bang, that's the better part of 100 points right there from that, and I was like, okay, so that pushes me up into the kind of tier two, maybe pushing into the tier one territory, and then he scored again. And it was one of those where everything, I mean, he scored me a total of 145.1 points. I think it was a 96.5 he scored. So that was just spectacular. Now, that was Moises, and I mentioned him on the podcast last week, and I think the week before. But I paid £13 for him, and on the back of that score, I sold him for 68, and that's in a limited forum. Do you know what I mean? It was 55 quids worth of profit, basically. And I've been able to reinvest that into the team. But yeah, that got me a fourth placed finish in Underdog. And it got me a young lad from Lyon, who I sold the other day for 0.095. So just under 0.1. And that was 140 quid when it came through. And again, if you look at my gallery, which we'll come to in a wee minute, I've sold him and I've been able to heavily invest into my team. I sold one player and basically brought in 10. And it's really allowed me to strengthen ahead of the summer, because that's one thing I was wanting to do was to get an under 23 limited team. And I've been able to do that thanks to winning. You know, this whole team cost me £114. and my card that I won sold for 140. So I really, really, really cannot complain in the least about that. So that was a really solid one. As I'd mentioned, the specialist one last week, I had the two players. I had Ogawa who got 100, but the game was called off with Gamba. So it killed my team there. At the weekend, I had three teams in. And to be honest, I wasn't expecting much. However, in each of them, there was one player let me down in each team. And I wasn't too far away. You're talking about 30 points away in each team from being in the cards. And it's, you know, Considal got rattled for four. The other team, my goalkeeper, Makewa, he had an error leading to a goal. And instead of scoring his, you know, the 60 that he was on, he scored 9.9. And then I had the... I mean, you called me out on Twitter for it. You did. Carlinhos Jr. DNP. However, he was part of the Immortal team that finished fourth. So that was it. That was a DNP. And again, I'm only 40 points away from a card there. So it was literally one of those. I did have your boy Memo Rodriguez however you want to pronounce it. Memo Memo. Sounds like I'm getting ready for a wee song there. Memo Memo. tuning up the band. But no, that was that. And I've not got much for the game week we're currently in, the midweek one, and I don't have much for the weekend. I've got outfield players. I don't have goalkeepers for either of them. However, the guy who finished above me in underdog last midweek didn't have a playing goalkeeper. He just had a captain that scored 100, and he also had Ogawa in his team who also scored 100. So you don't know what could happen with that, to be perfectly honest. And, you know, invariably, you're needing about 270 plus to get a card, and you can do that from four quality cards. So it's just a case of banging something in and seeing what happens. I've got no real hope for my midweek one. Weekend, I've had a wee look. I've been proactive in buying some of the Argentinians before they come back. I've bought a couple of those. I think I've got three or four. And yeah, I've just tried to be proactive. And obviously, that's something we've kind of both been looking at quite extensively, isn't it? I mean, in terms of restructuring our galleries. I know you've talked about it for the last few weeks because, you know, it's getting the finishing touches on things. We're in the international break, which is a good time to buy, not a great time to sell, because prices do dip because people are panic selling cards so they can buy a card that's maybe going to play one game over the next 6 months. In terms of restructuring, how are you getting on with your restructuring, Russ?
Yeah, I think I mentioned a couple of times, obviously I've got, you know, in excess of triple figures in cards, including the limiteds. And what I did want to do was I really wanted to increase the quality. And I've had this under 23 conundrum that I've been on, you know, I've mentioned it 2-3 weeks in a row now. And I've made peace with my decision. I've got a buyer for, it's actually for two of my players, so fingers crossed that it goes through. I've given the guy quite a bit of discount at a fair price. So we've got an agreement for Gaetan Kuke and Igor Deviv to leave my club. Now, I've got a few under 23 goalkeepers that were on the verge of breaking through and were regularly on the bench, if not on the bench for pretty much the entire season last year, that I've got quite high hopes that might break through. Now, I'm not saying these guys are going to break through on day one of the season in August, but I do believe that the first three or four shipment by the sort of maybe the goalkeeper that's on a shaky peg, and these guys could get an opportunity. And you know what happens, you know, that's how young guys basically break in and then start to cement their, you know, their careers by basically picking up on an opportunity, if I put my teeth in. However, I've made my peace with it. I'm going to take a punt on running with maybe four or five under 23 keepers that I think are going to break through and hope that one does. I think hopefully roughly by about September. If one doesn't, I'll probably revisit it because I do still have quite a lot of under 23 cards in stock, is what I would class it. So, yeah, I'm going to get rid of a few. I've got a few ready-made replacements. I signed Ross Graham at Dundee United in the rare forum, as you know, and I've got high hopes for him. I've got still a few of my MLS cards, guys like Cifuentes that I've mentioned and things, and I've got Christian Medina that plays in Argentina, that these guys are only going to get better and better, and they're only going to increase in value. And I can say that with 100% confidence that, you know, episode 50 of this podcast, we'll be mentioning these names and these guys will be going for the Hani Mukhtar prices of this world now. You know, I've got absolute confidence in it, so I'm prepared to say it on air. apart from that, the reconstruction, what I've looked at, I actually had a really sort of critical analysis on my gallery, trying to look at it not through my own eyes and through my own preference. I think I've got about 16 to 20 cards out of the entire gallery in rare form that I would class as elite first team picks for me. Mm-hmm. And that's when I say elite, I don't mean elite in the game, like, you know, the absolute, like the one ethers or the, you know, the Carlos Gills of this world. I mean, guys that are probably under maybe say 0.4, 0.5, but they really are sort of like top of that kind of class. So I've got, you know, roughly about that. Wee bit of work in progress. I'd like to get another couple of rare keepers in. And again, it's really what I'm trying to do is get in my own head, and I know I say this on the podcast, but just cement my own strategy. I've got an idea around my strategy, but what I want to do is I actually want to cement it in place. And I think I've now got that. So I've put a plan is global rare and global pro from August. And then obviously with a challenger of the same, and then just the champion rare. And that will be the five leagues. Now, obviously, I expect what I plan to do in relation to having the players for that is I'll have predominantly more challenger players that I can switch in and out with the global. I'm also looking to ensure that they have pretty much all played in excess of 90% of the last 15 games. And again, I'm now targeting, if I'm being honest, when I'm looking at the players, rather than in previous sort of months, I would probably, to my own detriment, sometimes take speculative punts on players that I knew were good footballers, but just don't seem to do it. And now what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to just slightly focus it more to the guys that I'm maybe looking going, I don't actually think he's as good a footballer as the player I might have bought. But you know what? He seems to bloody do really well.
The scores are there.
Yeah, and the scores are there. Yeah. And the green scores are there every bloody week, even though you're not expecting them. So, yeah, it's been a bit of a mission, because the under 23 was something that I was really confident that I could sort of conquer. However, what I've found is the opportunity to sell players at a profit, it's just too appealing for me. So that's me.
I agree. I'm gonna just say that the same thing. I had a conversation with a couple of people this week, and one of the things that I was asked was, could I have a look at the gallery and see what I would do with it? So I had to be nosy. And I had to just stop before I even looked at any players. And I don't actually think I gave advice on any of the players in the gallery. I asked the question, what is your goal? What are you looking to achieve? Are you wanting to compete in SO5? Are you wanting to make money? They're not mutually exclusive if you're able to be playing at a high level. But I've always turned my cards over. You know, if somebody's going really well, there's, take that Moises. I could have held on to him. His average for the last five was in the 60s. And he is scoring regularly, scores and assists. But I could take that 50 quid profit and buy other cards. So what I actually did with his entire sale, I bought another Scottish goalkeeper in Limited, and that was Ross Laidlaw. I was able to then buy two Argentinian players as well. One who scored 8 goals in 14 games, Tarragona, and also the midfielder that we both bought at the exact same time. So Russ is in the middle of trying to buy a card that was 0.007. And I didn't know this. I'm looking at it. I'm like, I've done my research, Sarare data-wise, as I mentioned before, that's where I find mine. And I looked at transfer market, blah, 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 happy with that. Bang, bought it. And then, so he's in the middle of trying to buy it, and it pops up, transfer in progress, so they're in the budget. So he has to pay an extra, I think it was an extra 30p to get another one. So I'll be
ridiculous.
I'll bring you a Freddo the next time I see you. but yeah, no, so I was able to convert that one into three. Now, for me, again, that just helps build my gallery and bring in more quality, because strikers will go off the boil. Moises could be back down to 20 quid in 6 weeks' time, because he's not scored any goals for five games and he's scoring 35 every game. So it's finding the right time to capitalise on it. So for me, it's always been making money. It's always been making money. Now, 3 weeks ago on the podcast, just from listening to the podcast, just trying to catch up and figure out where it was at and things. 3 weeks ago on the podcast, my gallery was sitting at 0.16, and on Sarare data, it was shown as $3,800. Since then, because obviously the market has started to correct itself, and also we are starting to see the uptick. I think we've hit the bottom for Europe, and I think we're starting to climb back up. My gallery today, having only won that one big card, has gone up to 2.2 ETH and about $4,200. Now, it's worth more than that. I know it is because the Scottish players haven't even got close to peaking yet, but they have started to creep up. They really have started to creep up. I mean, I'm looking at Ryan Edwards and I paid like 40, 50 quid for him, and I think his 3-day average is in the 80s and things like that. So you're seeing prices definitely creeping up. But for me, I was able to take the sale of the Lukaba, my reward card, and Moises, and I sold the two of them, and I brought in an under 23 goalkeeper, which was Menzel from Austria Klagenfurt. I brought him in for under 90 quid for a starting goalkeeper. Now, I posted it up, and his prices, I think the cheapest on the market is about 120 quid now. He'd missed the last two games of the season, but that was because they had nothing to play for, and they played their backup player. So there was that sort of thing there, and I was able to basically bring in 12 limiteds and one rare from that. So, and that's been able to strengthen my under 23s. I've now got a selection of under 23s for next season for the limited league that I can switch in between. And again, as you mentioned, I could then put them into, I could even put them into the specialist limited or underdog limited and things like that. So I'm sitting at the moment with 74 of these yellow cards that 6 weeks ago I had none. And but having said that, I've made quite a bit of money off of them, you know, because you're buying these cards for, you know, it might not seem a lot of money, but when you're buying them for 2 or 3 quid and then you're selling them for 10, you know, you're just, you can do that on quite a big scale with these ones, as far, you know, in my opinion anyway. But it's also things like that. I wouldn't have had a team out midweek if I hadn't been able to spend 8 quid to bring in Stephen O'Donnell and Bjarnason from Iceland. So it's allowed me to do things like that. So, yep, I've got the team in there. I've had a wee look at what I've got for the summer in terms of the rares. I've got 22 Challenger rares. I'm only going to be contesting All-Star and Challenger Europe. I've got 2 starting goalkeepers at the moment. For my limiteds, though, I'm now sat with 7 starting goalkeepers. I've got, I think it's a mixture. I've got 2 Asia and an America one just now, and then I've got 4 European ones. So I've got 3 that I'm running with just now, but I'm thinking about that when it comes to the start of the European seasons. I'm probably going to sell at least 2 of those and then reinvest that money back, or that might be part of what I take out. It's just going to depend, to be honest. And out of the players, obviously, I've got the backup goalkeepers there as well. I've got 18 outfield cards, and I've marked off, you know, what I've got. I've got 4 of them are under, that's the limited ones. I've got a few of them that are under 23s, but I'm probably looking at selling 5 or 6 of those cards, and that'll be almost pure profit. I mean, but like I say, I've mentioned it on another podcast, Mark O'Hara paid 30 quid for him, and already I think he's sitting in the 40s. Tanzer's the same. You know, there's quite a few players that I've picked up. So if anybody's interested, feel free to have a look in the gallery. You'll see the cards that I've got there, and it just gives you an idea. I mean, I've tried to do it early. I think somebody mentioned it today, it was the Joe Efford card. I got asked, somebody won a limited one, and what was my thoughts on it? And I said, well, yeah, I've got him in my gallery in rare, so I rate him. And he's a solid, you know, he's a solid card to have there. But I didn't pay a lot for him. And I mentioned it on the podcast. It was a cheeky offer, and the guy accepted it. And I was like, okay, happy days. So there's plenty there to make profit on, and I'm looking forward to when the boom starts to happen. And as I mentioned, I made no bones about it. It's all about making money on this platform for me. And if I get a big win, yep, it's sweet. And I enjoy it. You know, like getting that tier 0 limited was pretty epic. But it's not, you know, it's fun watching the scores come in, but it's also fun watching a grand drop into your bank account. You know, it's that's the way I kind of look at it. So that's kind of where I'm restructured to. I'm quite happy with where I'm at, and it's just a case of turning the cards over on a constant basis now. I've said that to a couple of mates. If you want to get in with the limiteds, you just need to keep rotating, and that's it. Once a player goes up in value, you just, in my opinion, I cash it in. You know, once it hits a level that I'm like, yep, 30 quid profit, bang, I'll take that. It's a limited card at the end of the day. You've got to remember that you can go and buy ones for 2 quid. You know, if you're selling one for 30, that's 15 you could bring in. I think I said that to Godfrey earlier on. He sent me over his picture of his ETH win from the weekend, and it was 0.127, I think it was, everybody got for the lower ETH this week. And I said to him, to me, that's 3 limited cards. And he was like, give me 3 names. So that kind of thing. It's just, I've thoroughly enjoyed it, and yeah, it's made a big difference in the gallery. But do you know what, I've now got so much choice in what I could play, and going into next year, I'm going to have the two rare teams, and I'm probably going to have four, maybe five limited ones. And it's just going, it's just, the limited ones to me are fun. That's my fun, and I enjoy it. And yeah, the rares is probably where I'm hoping, you know, that our local knowledge of Scottish football and things like that comes into play, and I can start to sneak into the cards again, because I've missed that.
yeah, I think that's
where
I'm at. Probably a key thing is that you know, picking up the cards is great, and it helps you strengthen. As you know, I've put the I started the assistant sort of Twitter account there with the challenge. So this was basically for, I set myself the challenge of 2K to sort of 40 or 50K. And I'm well and truly on the way, and it's all documented, et cetera. So I've managed to actually, I built a couple of templates, and all I'm doing is I'm throwing the cards up really quick so that I can get back into sort of, all the posts at the moment are historic, as you can appreciate, yeah. But it's just to sort of prove that the timeline and the journey, and obviously not all the trades are wins, you know, probably about 90% of them are, but there are some players that I've traded that I've lost money on, and or I've just had to give up on and sell because they've not broken through. But that's on the Twitter now, and it's just under the 2K Scotland Surrey sort of challenge. I've been putting little bits on my own Twitter, just referencing to it. But again, that's, like you were mentioning, you don't have to play the SO5. You can sit, and I've got a friend that just that recently signed up, and he's looked at it, and he's just started trading. You know, don't get me wrong, he's still putting teams in over the summer, and he'll put a team in probably into global, and then he'll put what you would class as have to be very, you know, very lucky in the MLS over the summer, because he doesn't have enough cards yet. And I think that's the beauty of it, is that, you know, we kind of stress this on this podcast, that there's nobody sitting here as a super early adopter with galleries of uniques and lots of super rares. I know that I've got a few now, but they're not expensive ones. You know, they're ones that I've picked up for less than a rare, you know. But what we're trying to do is we're trying to, I suppose, replicate, or at least show the opportunity that you can do this with somewhere between, you know, £500 to £2,000. And I know that £2,000 is, you know, it's a lot of cash still. It's even a lot more cash in the current sort of economic climate as well. But, you know, if I'm sitting looking, and I think on the trade journey, just as I was getting to, historically, I've been obviously going back to Pavel Trader, and I've been making sure that, you know, every single cost's been accounted for. So if I've had to send ETH and a card to get another card, then the card that comes in, that costs me the price of the original card, and also the ETH on top, so that there's nothing, like, it's not a case of, you know, me cheating system here. So what I'm finding now is I'm just in round about March 2022, and the actual cash trading profit, and that's not including what's in the gallery, is over 20K. Amazing. You know, so it just shows it can be done. It can be done at all levels. It's all relevant that, you know, £200 and hitting 2K is the same as, you know, 2K and hitting 20, you know, in multiplication.
Of course. And I think that was something I noticed yesterday when I seen that Surrey Data had added the transaction section of the website. You're able to now go in and click on it. So on the Surrey Data website, under the scouting menu, you can actually click on managers, and you can type in any manager and have a look at transaction history, and it'll show you things that I don't think some people want to see there when they've maybe been a little bit shady. I've certainly seen a few, and I tagged Dan in it, and I know you guys listen, so it'd be interesting to see if you could respond to my query. I know obviously there's been the new T's and C's gone up today. However, when I've seen blatant things of half an ETH's worth of players being transferred over from one account to another, and then an account deleted, it's very clear that there's, you know, there's shady things going on, and I've seen quite a few examples of it, not on just one account, but I've certainly, there's a couple like that, and it's things that stick out like a sore thumb, and if they're not being investigated, then they should be. And I was going back through mine, and I went right to the very bottom, and I seen my very first player, and it was Abdul Salam. Somebody, he played for Cincinnati, and then he got
the MLS, yeah.
Yeah, so that was my very first purchase, and I was having a look. And now, whilst I went from £300 to £1,300 in about four, six weeks at that point, I had a look through, and I'm looking at the players that I was buying, and I bought some amount of shite. I really did. And I'm looking at it, and I'm I'm having to remind myself of where I got to, and I'm like, how did you get here? You know, how did you get to where you are now? So I was scrolling through and I'm looking through all the different players that had come and gone. And obviously I switched from MLS back to, that was to the J League for the first time. And that's when I bought all my Oita players and Machida and things like that. And so I was scrolling through it and I was like, okay. And then I got to the end of June. It was the 28th of June. I can pinpoint when my gallery changed into... It accelerated massively, and it was the 28th of June. At that point, I picked up in a trade. I'd kind of not given up on a couple of players, but I traded a couple of big players to get Ibobese, who was at Portland at the time, and then he traded to San Jose. He's obviously on fire this season. He's doing really well. I watched a game at the weekend. He could have had six, and he said he only had two. But I was looking at these ones, and I was just like, right, okay. And then I had Mahani Mukhtar that I picked up for, I think I picked him up for about 0.065, which I haven't gone back because it shows you an ETH on it, and I haven't gone back to figure out how much it was in cash. But I remember he only played two game weeks for me. Because he'd played one and he smashed it and I won a card. And then the following week, he scored three goals inside 14 minutes, if I remember rightly. And I was going berserk because the missus was on the phone. And I remember turning around going, he scored again. And she's like, I'm on the phone with my mum. Fucking shut up. And I'm just like bouncing about the living room like a toddler on sugar. And it was just wild. And I sold him for more than double what I paid for him. And then I could see where I've started to reinvest that. And that's where my gallery really started to pick some steam up. And then also got to the August stage and the Brad Guzan incident, and where I sold them for a fraction of the price. And finally, there is now something in T's and C's that say the spiders and the bots are banned. I can't believe it took this long, but they are officially banned. So hopefully we'll start to see the end of Crypto Spider and Bologna and some of these accounts. But it was... It was very interesting to go back. And if you haven't done it and you've been on the platform for a while, go back and have a look at the transaction history. It's very interesting to have a look at. Mine's is there. I've gone back. I mean, there's hundreds and hundreds, if not into the thousands of transactions all the way through, because it's your ins and your outs. Yeah. And it was very interesting to see, you know, where everything came from and where it, you know, where it got to. And I think it was something I kind of wish I had in a spreadsheet like you had, and I'd been able to document it and try, you know, go through it that way. But I kind of did to begin with, and I got bored of it, and I was like, I know where I'm at. I kind of know where that is. It's in the noggin. But then again, I forget what I had for breakfast yesterday. So that was a very interesting one to have a look at. I suggest anybody, if you're interested in your journey, go and have a proper look at it that way and start to pinpoint where it went right and where it went wrong, because I could see mine went wrong early doors. But then it got right, and then after three full months on the platform was where before it started to click, and that was definitely my turning point. I'll post some screenshots up of those on my socials and stuff. So just before we move on to the challenge from last week, Russ, we'll touch briefly on the Scottish news. Obviously, the big news this week being the World Cup playoff. We'll be in attendance for at Hampden. So I think that obviously by the time the podcast comes out, we'll know whether it's plucky Scotland or we're on our way to Wales.
It's a tricky one. Obviously, of all teams that we're facing, the team that you don't want to be facing due to the sort of the war scenario and the sort of sympathy of the world is obviously Ukraine. As far as I know, to my knowledge, there's the element of, you know, obviously, it's a tricky one for us. We want to get to the World Cup. We want to beat Ukraine. I believe, as far as I know, from a sort of respectful point of view, I believe that, you know, they're looking and hoping that we can sing up like their national anthem, stuff like that, things like that.
Putting the lyrics up and things, yeah, no, that's cool.
So that's obviously, that's where I'm headed tomorrow and why we're not recorded.
Yes, yes. And I think that, you know, it's going to be a big game. And at the end of the day, this gives people a chance to take their mind off of what horrific things are going on in their own country and actually just go and play some sport. It's a football at the end of the day, yeah, it makes billions and billions of pounds of revenue every single season. But, you know, this is one that probably goes beyond that. But I make no bones about it. I hope we hammer them tomorrow or yesterday as the podcast comes out. I really do hope that Scotland have done the business. And, you know, It is one of those stories. It's unusual that Scotland are the bad guys in a competition like this. But yes, we are very much the heels in this programme. So, but yeah, no, that'd be good. I think I don't have a lot of Scottish news this week. I have been posting bits and pieces up on my Twitter. But in terms of concrete news and concrete transfers, what have you picked up? Anything in particular?
Yeah, last week at this point, we thought Sean Maloney was the way to be appointed the Dundee manager. And so far, that's not happened.
Saga and a half.
A wee bit of, before we go into, I've got just a few transfers, but obviously one of the big breaking news, Andy Gorham being given 6 months to live.
Yeah, the goalie.
Yeah, obviously very famous Scotland and Rangers goalkeeper. Obviously had spells at Man United and things as well. So quite tragic, you know, bit of a hero sort of in the goal for certainly our generation.
Yeah, definitely.
And to hear that he had, you know, cancer of the esophagus and he's refused chemotherapy and things, you know, it's probably going to be a sort of tail end of year sort of.
It's a horrid disease. I've, you know, personally, family wise, been through it. It's a horrific disease, and yeah, all the best. And do you know what? For him refusing the chemo, it might well give him, you know, it might shorten his life, but also it might mean that he's not having to deal with the chemotherapy effects and he's able to try and live his life as normally as he can over the next few months. So yeah, definitely thoughts go out. And you know, I'm not a religious man, but you know, you do say prayers and things like that in terms of, you know, you hope for the best for him and his family. So absolutely.
Yeah, that was obviously one of the big news and sort of stories in Scotland. But Livingston have made four signings, and I've just got a wee bit of sort of narrative on them now. I've checked, and as things stand, certainly as the Surrey releases go and the sort of the back catalogue, there's no cards for any of these. So they've signed a young Aussie centre back called Philip Cancar. He's got about 30 A League appearances. I think it was with Wellington. As I say, there's no card at the moment, but certainly he would be an under-23 edition if there's a card brought out from him in the new season. They've signed a Congo international by the name of Scott Bissendou. Born in Belgium, the boy seems to be an absolute unit. He's like 6'5", centre midfielder. Sort of reminds me of sort of like Diop that used to be at Fulham, you know, the wardrobe.
Yeah.
So they've signed him. There's no card for him. I did check. I thought there might have been. However, he's, you know, he's coming up in the search, but no card as yet. They've signed Jamie Brandon from Hearts. And I thought, oh, there might be a card there, but there's not. Yep. He's 24 now, and he was a Scotland under 21. Well, obviously 2-3 years ago. I think there's probably a little bit higher hopes for Jamie Brandon, and he's not really broke through. He's only got sort of 45 professional games after sort of playing sort of pro for 5-6 years, which isn't an awful lot, and it's been a little bit of it's been lower league. And finally, a much travelled Ismael Gonsalves. Now, he's actually played in the Scottish League on two occasions before. He played for Hearts, which he did quite well at Hearts for a short period, and then went completely off the boil, and then I think maybe the support was relatively happy to see the back of him. And he also played for St Mirren, but he's had 15 clubs in 12 seasons, and he's one of these guys, he's not just has he done that, he's one of these that switched nationality as well. He was a Portuguese youth, and now he I don't think he gets a game, but he certainly nailed his colours to the masts of Guinea. So that's all I've got for the Scottish news. There's not been an awful lot happening this week.
There hasn't. The one that I've got, there was a wee bit of news from Hibs today, just in terms of players on their way out. Dre Wright apparently on his way out there. And it said, this was, I think it was the Herald this came from. But yeah, Dre Wright was on his way out. And the speculation, but I think it's purely newspaper speculation, was St Johnstone as a possible destination for him, going back to his former club. And it also says they're not taken up. We discussed the, aren't they, last week. Sylvester Jasper, they're not taking up the loan option to buy. And James Scott and Rocky Bashiri, they're up. And they'll be going back to their parent clubs, Hull and Norwich, I think it is. And then the contracts also expire for Sean Mackey, Alec Gogic and Scott Allen. Scott Allen was one I mentioned previously as being, you know, possible for Kilmarnock. They were looking at him in January. His best days are probably behind him just purely down to health reasons. But if you're picking him up for a tenner and he gets, you know, 5-6 starts at the start of the season, that tenner's probably 40, 50, 60 quid, I would imagine. But not an awful lot of news there. But there was one little thing, just very, very, very quickly to touch on here. There was a thing came out in the J League today. You probably haven't seen it with how busy you've been, but the goalkeeper for Kashiwa Reysol, Kim, is it Gyu, Sung-gyu,
yeah.
South Korean international, is off to the Saudi League.
I've seen that,
And obviously they're now playing their their 20-year-old, so basically their under-23 goalkeeper, Sasaki, is now looking like he's the number one, which is quite spectacular. But this is what goes back to what we've preached on our videos in the past and everything like that, by the backups, because it's that important. All of a sudden, if you were just holding Sung-gyu, you're goosed, because he's going to have international games and the occasional, if they're in the, you know, the different competitions that count, the ACL championship. Yeah. So it's massive to hold the backups. And I think that always bears true. You see people saying, oh, I've just lost, you know, if it's a limited card, I've just lost 80 quid in value. Buy the backup for the extra 20 quid it's going to cost you. It's an insurance policy, because if one goes down, the other one goes back up, and it'll balance you back out and you won't lose out. Preached.
Yeah, we've mentioned that.
Yeah,
so
you've
many
mentioned
times.
I mean, yeah, sometimes you got lucky. Look at that. I had Alec Khan as the backup at Atlanta, and then he got traded to Charlotte, Cincinnati.
Yeah, Cincinnati.
And I sold him for 500 quid, and he cost me 30. So it's sometimes you get lucky with those ones as well. So before we go today, I had a challenge, I believe, for five players whose names were cities or towns, or I expanded that to be countries as well, Russ.
I took liberties with
the interpretation. So you said places, I think. Places was the name. Places you'd like, Jim. Right, so the first one I've went with is a firm favourite of yours, and it's the Ewok. It's Milan van Ewijk from here in Veen. So Milan, that was an easy one. The second one I've taken a wee bit of a liberty on. I've went for, in brackets, San Francisco Conceição from Porto.
Okay.
I felt like I was getting away with that one, and I, again, don't care. The third one is a lad who was out on loan from, I think it was Göztepe from the Turkish League. He's got 92 limited cards, so again, he counts. He's on loan to the third tier in Turkey, and that is Tibet Uniz.
Ooh, nice.
So I thought I'd get that away with that one. Fourth one, an English lad with an English town, Rhys Oxford from Augsburg.
Easy, yeah, good one.
That was an easy one. And then I've taken another liberty here. A player formerly of Cagliari has got cards in the game, and that was Kiwando. Is it Kiwando? I can't read my own writing. Surname was Asamoah, and I'm counting Samoa as a country, and I am counting that as my fifth one.
Well,
at least this week it's PG, and we've not gone off on anybody this week. So maybe the hits will be down this week.
On that note, obviously the amount of interaction that I think we had in sort of private messages of here's more of the naughty names.
Oh,
from last
man,
week.
Yeah, like, I had so many of them coming funny, through, and I was like,
there's one you've missed, and I honestly cannot believe that you didn't give me them, knowing our mutual love for Denzel Dumfries.
Oh,
everyone's favourite Dutch Scotchman.
Yeah, do you know the first one that came into my head was Sean Dundee.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, from our back in the Football Manager days, I used to always try and sign him, or Championship Manager days, I used to always try and sign him for Dundee, because it was Dundee scoring for Dundee, and as a 13 or 14 year old, I thought that was cool. Obviously, you could tell why I, you know, was a lonely child.
So as we finish up then, just before I let you say all the goodbyes as usual, next week, the challenge, I want five characters from mainstream films, and I'm going to give you like an extra bonus point if it's, say, for instance, you get someone and it's a first and a surname. So if you manage to get somebody that's got both names, amazing. Now, there are two to my knowledge in the game that are absolutely spot on. However, I want five characters from mainstream films. That's your challenge for next week.
That sounds good. I'll go with that. I'll see how we whittle with that. Just before we do go, the final thing I wanted to mention was, I think it was maybe Monday. No, this day is Tuesday, so it must have been just at the weekend there. Saturday, I think it was. Russ happened to send me over the Apple podcasts charts. And thank you to everybody who listens to this podcast on Apple. We went through, we've actually charted in about 6 or 7 countries now. And that goes from New Zealand, even Germany. At one point, we were the number 3 podcast in the fantasy sports category in Germany. That's wild to me. But in the United Kingdom, ahead of things like the NFL podcast and various other ones, we've been as high as 5th in the charts on 4 separate occasions. Now, that's all thanks to everybody that's listening to this podcast and continues to listen to our nonsense. It means a lot to us. I couldn't believe that. And obviously, I've seen the data in terms of how many listens we've had, but I had no idea that that was going to propel us so high up the fantasy sports charts in various countries. I think it's New Zealand, Australia.
Sweden.
Yeah. I think that's Moldy listened countless times. But also America. We charted in America and we've harped on about the American fantasy sports market. And 2 guys from Dundee are in their Apple podcasts charts. Go and have a look at it. The charts are, go to chartable.com. You can have a look at the charts and you will see us sitting there and amongst them. And it's, we're not amazing. Listed yeah. as a fantasy sports podcast anywhere. We've not, I don't think we're listed under any categories. It's been picked up as a fantasy sports one. And we are, I don't, you know, without tooting our own horn, but toot, toot. And we're doing pretty well, Russ. So thank you to everybody who's listened to it. It's fun every week. It's probably the main time we get to speak to each other. And that's why it comes across as a conversation between two mates, because that's what this is. It's a conversation between two mates and we record it and put it up and for your listening pleasure. So I don't know if you want to add anything to that there, Russ.
You know what, I just think the final thing before we say goodbye is just that we're genuinely so appreciative of it that we're now planning on a giveaway. And we said at the start that we didn't want to essentially buy likes and buy listens. And we've not, you know, we're 10 episodes in, there's been no giveaways, nothing like that. We've not, you know, we've followed people that we knew were, you know, in the community and vice versa. But now we're going to ramp up a little bit more. And Chris and I obviously have now spoken about putting something decent as a giveaway. We've not finalised the details yet, but fingers crossed we might be able, I think we're going to have it for episode 11,
yeah,
which would be great because the 11th man is obviously the full team. So we'll get that.
It would be good if we could have got something with maybe episode 55, but that's too far away. But yeah. I think just to let the cat out of the bag, the general idea is I think we're going to give away a full limited team. Am I right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's not going to necessarily be £100 to starting goalkeeper. It's probably going to be somebody that we're speculating on with that one, but it is going to be a limited
good
team. And it's going to be good cards. It's not going to be dross. It's going to be starters. And we are, you know, just as a thank you, because we really genuinely do appreciate it. And I hopefully, you know, for most of the feedback I get, it's always, you know, that you know, it's genuine. We, you know, we don't try to shoehorn in comedy. I mean, if Russ was trying to shoehorn in his comedy, Jesus Christ, we're in trouble. But I know the podcast ended at that point. But no, we're having fun. And I think that's the big part of it. We're having fun and we enjoy it. And if everybody else enjoys it too, more power to it. So thank you, everybody. And keep your eyes peeled. If it's not out, maybe, we'll probably put some teasers out. Well, we're us. We'll put some teasers
out. Some details over the weekend, I think.
Yeah. At AVFTDpod on Twitter. Get it followed and you'll get all the latest information on the giveaway there. So, without further ado, we'll call it a night there. Russ will be safely travelling to Hampden and safely travelling back. And if he's got any voice left, we might do some sort of post-mortem type thing, maybe as a wee extra over the weekend, but that might be on YouTube or something. We'll figure that out. And but yeah, follow the podcast on Twitter and you will find all that information. So take care, everybody. Thank you very much for listening and we will speak to you all again soon.